Turn with me, if you will, in the Bible to Psalm number 16. Psalm number 16. Psalm number 16, a psalm written by David, reading all of the psalm and focusing in particular on verse 8. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord, I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god will multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And we know the Lord will bless the public reading and proclamation of his true and errant and holy word. I have set the Lord always before me. I have set the Lord always before me. Verse 8, taken from Psalm 16 that we have just read. Friends, King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, was so surrounded by trouble that it drove him to the very heart of God. It is a reminder to us that the troubles of this present life, whether they are personal, emotional, relational, or financial, will drive us either two ways. They will drive us to despair, or they will drive us into the heart of the living God. David says that by the Holy Spirit, I have set the Lord always before me. And I want you this morning to notice that when David says that, I want you to hear the determination in his voice. I have set the Lord always before me. There is, you see, a discipline granted to every Christian, by sovereign grace. And that discipline is the discipline to focus upon God. And this is such a blessing, friends, so seldom talked about, so seldom considered, the discipline to focus upon God. Just as we can see David doing just that in this psalm. While the world vies for our attention through advertising, The Christian says, I have set the Lord always before me. And while the world promises us easy solutions to difficult problems, the Christian says, as for me, I have set the Lord always before me. And while the world tempts us to compromise the clear will of our God, the Christian says, I have set the Lord and his principles always before me. And when the world threatens you, persecutes you, hurts you, turns its back on you, the Christian still says, I have set the Lord always before me. And when the circumstances of this present life all seem stacked against you in an insurmountable way, and when there appears to be no one else around to help, the Christian, with the help of God's Holy Spirit within, says, as King David says, and they say by the second nature that God has given the Christian, I have set the Lord always before me. You see, friend, that's not a natural response to trouble or to challenge. That is a supernatural response, only possible for Christians to have due to the grace of God working in their lives. And in case you're sitting and you're thinking, well, that's an easy thing to say, but it's a more difficult thing to practice. There is no one here sitting or standing this morning in this building who had a more difficult life, who perpetrated worst sins, who knew the highs and who knew the lows of Christian life better than King David did. And yet David can say, I have set the Lord always before me. To say this is to describe the determination that God himself has given you to focus upon him and to concentrate your mind and your heart upon the living God. It's to think about the things above, to think more vertically than horizontally. The Bible says to dwell and to think on our Saviour Christ Jesus seated at God's right hand. And there's no better way to start doing this, to start putting the Lord always before you, than in prayer. Because in prayer we set the Lord always before us as the one who we are addressing, the very one to whom we speak to in prayer. It's in prayer, friends, that we practice the confidence that the God to whom we speak really hears us and can really answer us. So we set the Lord before us when we pray. In prayer we practice our faith, that is, as our trust in God, we are in prayer, we place our hopes in God. In prayer we express our love for God, and yes, and infinitely better still, in prayer and when we are praying, we ourselves are given assurance that God loves us too. Always remember, friends, that prayer is two-way traffic. Let us say then with David this morning, and if you're a Christian, you can say with David this morning, you have the same spirit that David had. I have set the Lord always before me. Because, David writes in his psalm, because he is at my right hand. And here, David is pointing us to the very closeness and nearness of God. Sometimes we think, don't we, that to live in Old Testament times, pre-gospel times, if you like, must have been almost lonely for the church of God. There was a certain distance between the church and God. We think of the tabernacle, we think of the practice of the temple. And the emphasis was almost on the separation between God's people and God. But of course, that is really caricature. If we take time to read the Old Testament, if we take time to study the characters of the Old Testament, such as King David, we see that they have every bit as intimate a relationship with God as we have today. We have the benefits of the gospel, of living post-Christ on earth. Of course we do. But here David tells us in Psalm 16 that he feels the nearness of God close to him. The nearness of God. And so we want to think of the definite proximity of God. Because he is at my right hand, David says. It is especially when God feels far away that you and I must remind ourselves and must remind each other how close God really is to us. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother, Proverbs 18 and verse 24 says. That God is closer to us than a human brother. And God's proximity to us, his closeness to us, does not change when our feelings change. Our feelings are always fluctuating up and down. But friends, God's nearness to us does not change when our emotions change. The Bible tells us so. Martin Luther knew this only too well. I'm sure many of you have read some of Luther's life. And Luther was very, very prone to the ups and downs of Christian living. He knew the highs, but Luther certainly knew the lows. And he experienced and suffered from depression at different times in his life. But above all else, Luther believed in the closeness of God. And he knew that he couldn't trust his feelings. And so he wrote a poem about the fickleness of feelings. This is what Luther wrote. Feelings come and feelings go. And feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. Naught else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. For though all things shall pass away, his word shall stand forever. And so Luther knew not to trust feelings. Trust the word of God. And the word of God tells us this morning in Psalm 16. God is close. God is close to us. So Christians don't deal primarily in feelings. Our business, friends, is the business of truth and of certainty. And these are the pillars of the Christian faith. Not feelings. Not a hope founded on airy-fairy ideas or ideals. But on truth and on certainty. The psalmist here even speculates on what it would take as if it were possible somehow, on what it would take to get away from God. The psalmist writes in Psalm 139 verse 7 and the following verses, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and I settle on the far sides of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." You see, what the psalmist does here is whether you're up or whether you're down or whether you are anywhere in between, wherever you try to go, either in physical difference or geographical placement or emotionally in your lives, God's there. God's there. And it is not the case that if you feel distant from God, it's because that you have moved away from God. God doesn't move. God is always there with you. The omnipresent God is everywhere. No matter what situation or frame of mind we find ourselves in. The Apostle Paul knew this very well, and in Athens on his witness on Mars Hill, he told the philosophers gathered there, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. And he does not live in temples made by hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gave all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them, and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him, and perhaps reach out for him, and find him. For he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets," Paul said, "we are God's offspring." He is not far from each one of us, Paul told the Athenian philosophers. Proximity. How near God is to us. He's not far, friend, from each one of us here this morning, the Bible says. In fact, the more you focus on God in your own thoughts, your own meditation, your own prayer, the nearer God seems to be. Does not the Bible say, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you"? James chapter 4. We have the promise of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, "And surely I am with you always until the very end of the age." Matthew 28. The psalmist celebrates this definite closeness, the nearness of God, when he sings, "Because he is at my right hand." Some of you this morning are sitting next to somebody. You may have somebody at your right hand. And here the psalmist says, God is so close to me. He is at my right hand. The closeness of God. That is the first thing that I want us to remember from this morning. The closeness of God that David experienced and that we can experience. Next, we want to consider the delightful confidence that we can have in God. The confidence that we can have in God. Because that surely is the conclusion of all of this that we read in Psalm 16. What will be the conclusion of our focus upon God? "I will set the Lord always before me." What will be the conclusion of God's own nearness to me? because he is at my right hand. And the result of all of these things, David says, is that I will not be shaken. What tremendous confidence that is. David tells us, first of all, of the closeness of God, and then he tells us that he's confident in God because he knows that God is close, and because God is close, he has confidence and will not be shaken. Oh, how all of us stand to benefit from being reassured of this truth over and over again. I will not be shaken. Because God is God, and because God is with me, and because God is right beside me, at my right hand. Because of that, I will not be shaken. And so if the financial reports from your business don't look good, do you say, in spite of it all, I will not be shaken? When news from those relatives living far away is not encouraging, do you say, even so, I will not be shaken? When news comes from the doctors regarding your recent test results that you need to come in for a consultation with your doctor as soon as possible, is your response, I will not be shaken? When the whole earth seems to tremble due to the latest threat to the world's future, be it global warming or hit by a meteorite or whatever next the media can dream up to put on its front pages or the lead story on the news that evening, is your response, I will not be shaken? The saints of God need to say, as King David said, we will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. Oh, that we may come to an ever sure certainty of this fact. With God before us, because he is at our right hand, we will not be shaken. That we focus on God with God's help. We will experience the closeness of God. We will know that God is at our right hand. And because we are focused on God and because we know that God is at our right hand, we will have confidence in God and we will not be shaken. This, friends, is what the psalmist teaches us this morning. As the Bible reminds us in many, many places, the certainty about your faith, the certainty that you are forgiven, the certainty that your place in heaven is secure, the certainty that Jesus will bring you through life's storms, and you will arrive safe in harbour when life draws to a close, all comes out of this determination to focus upon God. Of God, Psalm 16 says, in God I take refuge. I flee to you. Apart from you, I have no good thing. It doesn't matter what else is going right in your lives. If it is apart from God, it is of no good to you or of no good to me. That is so true. No matter what else you have, materially, even in family, all these things may be well and good and proper in their place. But in the final analysis, all of these things will be left behind on this mortal plane in which we live. And these things, if they are apart from God, are without true value. So our focus, friends, needs to be upon God. Can we really focus upon God and forget about his people? If we are focusing upon God, then no, we can't. We have to focus upon God's people, upon each other in this congregation. The Bible says, the psalmist writes, calls them his saints. David writes in Psalm 16, they are the glorious ones in whom he delights. And he goes on and tells us that those who are not God's people will have their sorrows multiplied. That is how wonderful and how different the treatment of God's people are by God opposed to the non-believer. We are God's glorious ones. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit glories in you if you're a Christian. David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes, you are his glorious ones. That's how wonderful the church is in God's eyes. The psalmist then continues to consider God's providence. Because he has set the Lord always before himself, David then thinks about the Lord's providence in all of the rest of his life. He speaks in the psalm about the portion and the cup which God has assigned him. And this refers to David's situation. David's situation is as different from your situation as yours is from mine, or yours from the person adjacent to you. Everybody's life situation is different. But again, with confidence, David knows that this situation has been assigned to you by God. And David, as we said at the outset, was no stranger to trouble. God also assigns that to us as our portion and our cup in life. And the fact that his lot, we talk about that's your lot in life. David thinks and considers his lot in life, his situation, the troubles that he's faced, the troubles that belong to tomorrow, the uncertainty of future years. But he has confidence, unshakable confidence, because he knows that his soul is eternally secure. Come what may, whatever else life throws at him, his soul is secure. The boundary lines include forgiveness for sins, eternal life and glory. And David, no stranger to trouble and heartache, says in Psalm 16, surely I have a delightful inheritance. A delightful inheritance is coming to me. Remembering these things is something to praise the Lord himself for. God himself counsels me about the reality of these things, says the psalmist. I'm so glad that I think like this. This is not normal thinking. This is not the thinking that you will read off in the newspaper or hear on the radio, or hear non-believers or followers of other world religions. You will not hear this hopefulness which is based on truth and certainty anywhere else. But here the psalmist is overflowing with praise. And he actually thanks God that I think like this. Thank you, God, that I think like this. Because it is not, as we say, how most men or women or boys or girls think. But for David, he can only praise the God of grace that he does think differently. And he praises God that God counsels him about the realities of life. Because God speaks to his heart and reminds David, and it reminds us in 2009 of all of these things. And therefore we, like King David, should have a glad heart. We should have a rejoicing tongue. And we should have a body at rest. We should be at peace. Especially as David encountered many times when we are challenged before the face of death itself. We should have a glad heart, a rejoicing tongue, a body at rest and at peace, even and especially in the face of death itself. God, the psalmist knows, will not abandon me to the grave. And this, very briefly and in closing, is perhaps the most remarkable few sentences out of Psalm 16. Because as the psalm progresses and comes close to concluding, the psalmist becomes a prophet and he predicts the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, not only will you not let me, not only will you not abandon me to the grave, but nor will you let your Holy One see decay. And it is this very psalm that we've considered this morning that is quoted by both the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul in their preaching as they proclaim the resurrection of the Son of God from the dead. It is amazing here. And friends, as Christians, I hope that we never stop being amazed that in this relatively short psalm, David celebrates these realities in his own life and the blessed condition of his body and soul. And this is the manner in which he puts the Lord always before him. Indeed, every Christian should sing with David, God has made known to me the path of life. He will fill me with joy in his presence with eternal pleasures at God's right hand. And so friends, this morning I've brought to you a message of hope and of encouragement and of determination. A determination to focus your life on God. And celebrate and live in the light of the news that God is close to you. Live as if that is true to you because it is true. It is real. God is at your right hand. He is close. He is not far away. And that, friends, will give you a delightful confidence in God. That he is good, that he is true, that he is forbearing, and that he will continue in you and in me to complete the work that he's begun. and to take us home to be with him in heaven when that day comes. Be determined. Focus on God. Celebrate the closeness of God to you. And have confidence in our God. Amen.